Welcome to the Profitable Audience Podcast. Today, we are going to talk about email. Now, in past episodes, we've always emphasized the importance of having an email list, but what do you exactly email to your list? And how can you automate the process? This is what we are covering today.
This is something that you and I have talked about many times, that when we first got started with our websites, neither of us knew anything about email marketing or how to build a list, and especially not how to email our list.
You know what's sad about this, though, is I actually knew about email. I never revealed this in the past. I knew about email, but I was actually too cheap to pay for it. Because
what?
I'm like, I knew about it. I just didn't know the true power, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, why should I pay $30 a month, which I think was the price at the time, for something that isn't going to directly generate me revenue? Like, I didn't know because I didn't sell anything at the time.
Right. Well, actually, that should be a whole other podcast too, is how to email your list when you don't have a product.
Yeah, definitely.
Like how you can make money from email. I'm going to actually write that down right now I don't forget.
I mean, that's something that's hard to justify for someone who's just writing content, right? Spending this money, but I'm not getting anything back. Whereas in like e-commerce land, it's different, right? You're emailing for product. I'm sure I would have signed up for email much sooner with a product-based site as opposed to just a content-based one.
Now, when you started Bumblebee, did you immediately do email?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. That makes sense. All right. So let's talk about, what do you want to start with first?
Let's talk about the stuff that's automated, because that's my favorite thing to talk about.
Okay.
Like when you can rely on a machine to do the work for you, that always just makes me happy.
Okay. Of course it does. Of course it does.
So let's talk about the welcome sequence.
Okay.
We can talk about how we do it on our respective blogs because we do it differently. But having a welcome sequence obviously always starts with some sort of lead magnet. You have to entice someone to sign up. So my lead magnet for my entire website is a 6-day mini course on how to get started in e-commerce. I've actually since added 3 more lead magnets, so I actually have a total of 4 now. I thought I'd just add this as an aside. Maybe we'll talk about this in a future episode. But now I have it rigged up so that if someone has signed up for one, they actually get shown a different form for an alternate course. That way I can spread the wealth around.
Interesting. It's funny because you've come over to the dark side, because I have 175 million lead magnets. And for the longest time, you just had the one lead magnet, which was your mini course. And now you've expanded.
I've expanded, but I have a motive now.
So you're the like, motive, everything that I do is completely calculated.
The motive now is actually those other courses are delivered via SMS.
Oh, that's right. That's right. We talked about that.
Right. So I'm trying to get people on both email and SMS. You're right. Once I have their email, you know, I can present them the other courses directly in email and not in the form, but I'm trying to get both.
Right. So the welcome sequence. Mine's actually a little bit different. My welcome sequence is for people that do not come through via a lead magnet. So I think most people have some sort of email sign up on their website that doesn't necessarily link directly to any specific lead magnet or freebie. At least
interesting.
Maybe that's more in the lifestyle space, but you know, people just have like the sidebar.
So what is the motive for signing up in the sidebar for you?
Well, there's no motive. It's just like one of those things that we put in 10 years ago and never took out.
Oh.
Right?
Well, I imagine that form doesn't convert as well as the other ones.
It doesn't,
you get something,
but
right?
It's also there's just also, I feel like maybe this is because my site is old and there's just so much on there that there are probably places where people can sign up for email that I don't know it's there. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I have a welcome sequence that's basically for people who come through without a lead magnet. And it's basically an introduction to me and what the site's about.
So what happens if they sign up for a lead magnet? Do they get the lead magnet? And then are they placed on that sequence that you're talking about?
So yes, if they come through a lead magnet, they get no, they don't actually. It's complicated. I would say I'm not the best person to copy when it comes to this because I have so many lead magnets. But when they come through on a lead magnet, the first email they get is obviously I deliver whatever they signed up for, the printable, the checklist, whatever it is. And then they tend to get content based on whatever the lead magnet is that they signed up for. So the one that I'm revamping right now actually is my menu plan sequence. So this is for anybody who comes through on anything that has to do with food. So if you come through for any lead magnet that has to do with food or recipes or menu planning, you get in this sequence. And it used to be a very short sequence because I basically dumped all the information to them in like two or three emails. Well, now I'm spreading it out and it's going to end up being probably like a 3 or 4 week sequence that they're going to get all related to like food and menu planning and how to save money on groceries, that sort of thing.
Wow. So that implies then that you have many different autoresponder sequences because you have so many different lead magnets.
So I have, I think there's 4 or 5. So okay. If they come through on food, they get food content. If they come through on like saving money, budgeting, they get a budgeting type content. If they come through, my most popular lead magnets are my homeschool printables. So they're going to get homeschool educational related content. And then there's another thing that is more, we're going to talk about this in a minute, but like the challenge stuff, anything that I do with fitness, that's really, really specific. So those people aren't going to get the other kind of content.
How long are these sequences?
Usually just a couple weeks. So, but I want to expand them. And then what happens is once they go through that, then they just get dumped into the weekly email.
Okay. And then in terms of the frequency, so they sign up for League Magnet, you said it's a couple weeks long. Are you emailing them every day, every other day, every week?
I'm not. So if they're just coming through, if they sign up for a printable, they're going to get an email maybe every 3 or 4 days.
Okay. For 2 weeks. So we're talking just a handful of emails.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my sequence is literally, I'm thinking right now, it's like 30 weeks long. So they'll, I mean, I sell a high ticket item.
Yeah.
So I have to be in someone's mind consistently. Because sometimes it takes a couple of years actually for them to sign up.
Yeah, we talked about that on a podcast we recorded. I think it was last week. You said someone signed up for your course after 5 years.
Yeah, something right? Crazy. Wasn't that like that. Yeah.
Okay.
So I actually deliver that mini course that I advertise.
Yeah.
But instead of delivering it via an ebook, I split it apart into different emails, and every single email has a video associated with it that teaches the lesson. I advertise it as a 6-day mini course, but it actually has 9 lessons in it. And those first 9 lessons are delivered every single day because some people email me and say, hey, can you just give it to me all at once? Like, I just want the whole thing. And I was like, well, it drips out once per day. So maybe that'll be an incentive for you to actually check the email, which is actually the true incentive.
Right.
I don't exactly say it like that. And then after that sequence, then it's pretty much I give away a lot of free material. And then I talk about like my success stories. I basically just answer all the most frequently asked questions about e-commerce in every subsequent email, which usually goes out once a week. My emails go out on the weekend, the autoresponder emails, so that during the week I can do a broadcast. So at most you'll get like 2 emails from me per week.
After they get through the first 9 lessons.
Correct.
So the 9 lessons get dropped once a day.
Right. Right.
And then after that, they fall into a weekly sequence that delivers on the weekends.
Right. So I talk about student success stories. I'll talk about like some of the most common questions, like how much does this cost? How long does it take to make money? All that stuff.
So I feel like what you're doing with your mini course is you're basically taking all the different types of sequences that you can have and putting them into one massive, gigantic sequence.
Yes, that's true. Because I like to keep everything simple. Like if I had to keep track of 5 or 6 or how many lead magnets you have, I can't remember. You probably have like under 100 probably, but something like that.
Oh, I have
right?
over 100.
Oh, you have over 100 lead?
Probably.
That would drive me nuts.
Well, they're not all active though. So yes, they're not all active, but yes, there's probably over 100. But here's the thing. So if you sign up for a printable, a homeschool worksheet pack, that's all. So it used to be that they would get a separate email for each one. And then that's gotten to be, it's unmanageable, right? Because I have, you know, 150 to 200 of these. So now what happens is when you sign up for a free printable pack, you go to the printable pack page and then you can click and download any of them.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to suggest that actually.
Because that's all in the same genre. Like I can't do that if you want menu planning. I'm not going to send you to a page with all my printables because that's too many, right?
And I
don't want people to have to weed through, you know, budgeting if you want a recipe. But, and then once you get to that page, then you go into a sequence that's all about education and learning. And then the sequence that you're getting there is more tailored to homeschooling, as opposed to the menu plan one, which also now dumps to a page that has all the menu planning resources on it. And then, but what I'm doing now is working on the sequence that goes with that to break it up so people just keep opening the emails.
So now you basically just have five landing pages, it sounds like. Like for to deliver
five different sequences. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, that's right. That's the goal. I'm not there yet. I'm working on revamping all that because I had to, I mean, just the homeschool content alone, these printable packs, there's over 100. So each one of those has to, each post there has to be reconfigured to send people, you know, I got to put a different signup form on there because the new signup form is the one that redirects.
Oh, I see.
So it's
okay,
a process.
So you still have the same number of forms.
Well, no, I'm using one form, right? So the homeschool has one form.
Okay. Oh, I see. I see.
But and then every you just kind of post frame it has to be updated with the new form.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah. So that's still ongoing because it just takes forever to find them all and make sure.
Yeah. I think for most humans like who don't have like 8,000 posts or however many you have, it's a much less daunting task.
But let's talk about real quick because you kind of went through how you run your challenge. Or your mini course. It's not a challenge. It's a mini course. I think that's one of my favorite ways to grab emails because it does keep people engaged and keep people opening. I think I've shown this in the course, but my open rates on the emails for my challenges is in the 60-80% rate on the challenge emails. And it's nice because just like with your mini course, we're emailing people every single day. The emails are, I mean, yours are a little bit longer. I don't have a video with all of my emails, although I'm getting there. But people open them, they stay engaged, and then once they finish with the actual challenger course, the important thing, and I think something people don't always do, which you do a great job of, and I need to do a better job of, is then moving into, for you, it's the same sequence, but it also could be considered a different sequence of like the social proof, right? So you're sending people emails that talk about success stories in the course because all of this is leading up towards someone buying something from you.
That's correct. Yeah. And for me, I keep things simple. I really only sell one thing.
Yeah.
If I sold multiple items, I'd probably have a separate sequence per product and just focus on that one product.
So another thing I want to talk about is, I don't know if this has happened to you. I'm sure it hasn't because you're far more organized. But, you know, I switched.
Wait, what?
You're far more organized when it comes to doing things like this, not in life in general. Let's clarify.
Whew.
I know.
Almost, thought I was dreaming for a sec.
Made a mistake on that one. I know a lot of people who, like for me, my lists are, I have segments of like basically my entire list, but then I have some pretty heavily segmented lists because years ago, I basically divided my lists up by topic. So there were people that only got homeschool content. There were people that only got budgeting content. They never got like full content from my site. And I think there's a lot of people, especially if you're in a space that's more lifestyle, you know, for you, your stuff's pretty targeted towards building a business, e-commerce sort of thing. But they end up not emailing either their whole list or a segment of their list for a period of time. And you can't just all of a sudden just start emailing them again without some sort of massaging. So you want to talk about that a little bit?
Actually, I was going to, before we get into that, I was going to ask you, since you have these different categories, do you generate like 5 emails per week?
So I used to, for like 4 years, we sent out a different email to each segment every single week. It was someone's job to do that. And then I realized this is way too much work. And so many of the people I found out overlapped. So when I started looking at, okay, here's Betty Joe, right? Betty Jo was on 3 of the 5 lists. Mm-hmm. So she's just going to get the content. Like this is way too much work. So we would do every week, they would each get their own email. And then every month we would do like a full on like newspaper, like magazine type email to that segment. But it's expensive to do because I was paying someone to create all the content, format it, make it look really pretty, you know, having all those, it just got way too much. It was way too confusing for people that really wanted most of the information anyway.
So did those people sometimes get emailed 5 times then?
It could be very possible that they would, right?
Oh, I see.
And they all, I think, I'm having a hard time remembering because I stopped doing this in like 2015, but I want to say that they probably all got emailed on the same day too.
Oh, wow. So four or five emails
wasn't,
in a
that
day.
That wasn't great, but...
What were we just talking about? Re-engagement sequence?
Yeah, emailing people, emailing your list after you haven't emailed them for a while.
Yeah, I do this by accident all the time, like I having to re-engage with people. Because sometimes I'll run like a challenge or a workshop, but they're not already on my list. Like I ran ads for it, and then I forget about those people, and I'm not sending to them. So I wouldn't call this a sequence. Well, maybe it's a sequence. Usually what I try to do is I give my value props.
Okay.
And I reintroduce myself, first of all.
Yes, I think that's really important.
And I remind them, hey, you signed up for this challenge.
Yes.
And hopefully you learn a lot, whatnot. I actually offer a lot more depth for free if you want to take these other courses that I have to offer. And then what I do is I use the click to subscribe option with my email provider. Like you click and you automatically get the sequence.
Mm-hmm.
And the goal there is, you know, just to get them on some sort of sequence. And if they do nothing, I'll send them another email to the people who didn't open it.
Yeah.
But that's basically the sequence for me. What's it like for you?
So I think it's something that's really important. And you actually reinforced this with me a while back, is that you got to remind them how they got on your list and who you are. Because what I see people doing is they just start emailing them again as if they've always been on the list. And they just get the weekly email. And that's a great way to get a lot of unsubscribes really quickly, because people are thinking, what the heck? Who is this person? I have no idea. I didn't sign up for this. And sometimes they'll respond to the email and say, like, I never signed up for this, or what, you know, you get like a nasty email back. So I think it's really important to say, hey, you're getting this because you downloaded my Christmas printable, or you're getting this because you signed up for my 6-day mini course. And so hopefully you're triggering some sort of memory for them that they signed up for. And then I think it's really important after you do the memory trigger is that you introduce yourself. Hey, I'm Tony. This is the site. And then go from there as far as how many. And I don't think there's a set number of emails you have to send to get people before you kind of move them over into another segment. But I think it's important to do a couple to allow them to get off the list.
You know, what's funny about all this is there was actually this one feature of AWeber, which was the email, my original email marketing provider, that I really liked. AWeber actually keeps track of the exact page that they signed up on and the exact date and what they got. Like, it was just like one of those automated fields you could put in. So in your re-engagement, you could say, hey, you signed up on this page on this date, and this is what you got.
That's actually a really cool feature.
Yeah, but I don't think Drip has that, actually.
Okay, we'll have to look into that. But, and speaking of like re-engagement, another similar type of campaign that I think is really important to do is your pruning. Which some people, this is what's crazy to me, is some people are so against sending this sequence. But to me, it's one of the best things I've ever done.
So let's talk about exactly what that is.
Yeah.
So let's say someone's on your list, but they haven't opened an email in like 6 months or so. Clearly, those people don't want the emails that you have to send. Either that or they're just not getting them.
Yeah.
And when you get people, like enough people who aren't opening your emails, that actually hurts your email deliverability. So it's actually in your best interest to get rid of the people who aren't engaging with your emails at all. It helps you. And also you pay less too. You don't want to be paying for people who aren't reading your email, right? And consuming your content.
Well, that's why I do it. I don't want people that aren't, it costs you money to have people on your list that don't do anything. Although I'm pretty vicious with this. I don't know what your time frame is, but my time frame is 12 weeks.
12. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Minus 6 months.
Yeah. Once you don't open for 12 weeks, you get the prune.
What is your first email like? Are you using something similar to mine? Or
I did. It's a copied version of yours.
Okay.
I mean, it's been tweaked a whole lot because yours obviously doesn't make sense for my audience. But the first one is very short and it says, you know, is this thing working, or some catchy title, but a title that doesn't make any sense for my site, right? It's not a, hey, I haven't heard from you in a while. It's like, hey, is this thing on, or is this thing working, or something like that. And then I don't remember exactly what it says. I should have had it open in front of me. It's basically, you know, I noticed you haven't been reading my emails. If this isn't a good fit, let me know. If you just haven't had time or you want to stay on the list, hey, here's a freebie for you. And I give a freebie in the very first email.
Oh, interesting.
And as soon as they click on that freebie, they get off the sequence.
Right, right. For me, I think the first one is just, I noticed you haven't been here in a while. Click here if you want to stay on. And then I think the second email I have, this is the one that converts the most, is, hey, you might be stuck. So if you want to just ask me a question, just hit reply to this email and I'll promise I'll respond.
Yeah.
And then a lot of times people will respond with a question. Like, they're still there.
Yeah.
But they're stuck, or they've been too shy because they didn't know that they could just ask me a question. They didn't think that I'd actually respond to it, I think.
Right.
Is what now, happens in a lot of cases.
Is your setup so that when they click to respond, they are off the sequence?
Mine's a little bit more aggressive. If they so much as open the email.
Okay.
They're off the sequence.
Okay. And then my second one is, I think, oh my gosh, I need to pull it up. My second one is more of a, hey, hope you're doing okay. You know, it's not quite as aggressive as ask me a question. And then my third one is, hey, you probably don't know about these things on my site. Mm-hmm. I give them some details, which is probably what yours is since I copied yours. And, and then my final one is three sentences. And it says, hey, I'm busy. You're busy. I get it. You don't want to be on the list anymore. Let me know. And I get it's so funny. I get people that will like email me an apology. I'm so sorry. I just don't have time to read your emails. I think you're great. Like they feel like they've got to apologize to me. And I'm thinking, no, no, no. Like you're doing me a favor. And so I think I can, I think they might be able to click to unsubscribe on that one. Or I think they.
Well, I mean, all the emails are required to have an unsubscribe link. It's just whether you make it prominent or not. Right?
Yeah. It's, I think it's very prominent on that one, but so many more people will just email me and tell me to tell me to take them off the list, which is kind of a pain.
Yeah, that happens to me all the time too.
But I mean, it works though. And but what I do is I just set them to inactive so they don't get any more emails. But I still like you're not paying for them, but you still have their email, so you can use it for targeting and things like that.
I think that's like a drip specific feature, right?
Is it? Okay, I didn't know if it was.
When you put someone in inactive, they don't count, but you can't email them either, right?
Right.
Unless it's something that's non-transactional or transactional. I can't remember what.
But you can use their email address if you want to create like a lookalike audience on Pinterest or Facebook.
Right. Yes.
So you don't want to, that's the big thing. You don't want to actually delete their email out of your email provider. You want to keep the email because you can still target them. You just don't want to send them anything.
Right. Yeah. I'm just trying to think. Yeah. I keep all that data around also because sometimes people unsubscribe. But then they come back with a different lead magnet.
Yes.
That I have.
Yeah.
So.
Or I've had people that are on my list with like three different emails.
That happens to me all the time too.
Yeah. Calm down. Calm down, folks. So, okay. So I think that one's a really important one. And I know people love to get online and say, oh, I have 100,000 email subscribers or I have 50,000 email subscribers. But the reality is if those people are not actively reading and buying from you or clicking through using your affiliate links, whatever it is, you're just paying for something.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, I know everyone likes to have big numbers, but I think I'd rather have 5,000 super engaged email subscribers than 100,000 people with a 10% open rate, you know?
I'd rather proudly announce that I'm paying less for my email marketing services.
I pay $7 a month for
my
email.
It's like a Geico commercial.
But I do think that, like, to me, I care the most about my open and click-through rates. And as long as those are growing or staying the same for me, I'm happy with that. I don't want to grow my list and not have those rates stay the same.
I mean, like I said before, if you're growing your list and no one's opening your emails, you're probably losing out on accessing other portions of that same list.
Right.
Because the way the ISPs work is if you send out a mass email and a large percentage of them don't even open it, then chances are a lot of those other emails aren't going to get delivered to their desired destination, period.
Right.
Like it won't even show up in their inbox.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's one of the really nice things about doing any sort of like challenge or mini course is that your open rates go up and then it improves your email altogether.
Yeah, totally. I mean, incidentally, this is why a lot of people are moving over to SMS as well because, you know, text messages, everyone at least takes a look at it, right? They might not respond to it.
Yeah. Okay. Another sequence I want to talk about, and this is a little bit more for someone who's selling any kind of product, so digital or physical products. I'm always surprised when people send out and I used to do this when I first got started in e-commerce, is I would send out a sale email and that's it. Like nothing else. One email.
Yeah.
Dumb.
Well, I mean, it's not intuitive, right? Because in the back of your mind, you're thinking you might be disturbing them. It took me a while to get over this, too. I mean, I send out 6 emails now for every sale.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, that's a lot. I don't send out that many.
Well, okay, it's not exactly like that. I mean, it's not as many times as it sounds because I send to unopens.
Yes.
Each time.
Yeah.
So I'll send one at the beginning of the sale, the middle of the sale, and the last day. And if the sale is doing really well, sometimes I'll send out an extension email afterwards. Right?
Yeah. So I think the big thing for sale emails is that you have to send to unopens. You have to resend it. And then I think the whole countdown, like sale ends in 6 hours or sale ends in 3 hours or sale ending tonight,
you want to put that out there, is super important because I never thought about that when I started doing this. I just sent out the sale email. And then the first time I sent out, and then I was like, oh, I should send to unopens. It took me a while to get this whole thing figured out. So then I was into unopens, and then I saw more sales and I was all excited. And then I thought, well, what if I sent a second email? How well would that do? And it's amazing that that final email that you send tends to drive
most of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great. Yeah. You're just like, why don't I just send like a 1 hour sale email? So yeah, I think that's a big one. And you don't have to just have, it doesn't have to be physical products. You can do it with digital products if you're doing a sale on digital products. It could also be on if you have an affiliate deal. So
oh, yeah,
for definitely. Example, if you're working with a company, let's just say, okay, you work with Shopify, right? So let's just say Shopify is running a Black Friday special where people get 2 months free or who knows, whatever. You know, you send it out initially, but then why not send out two or three more emails reminding your audience that they can sign up and get the whatever the deal or discount is before it ends? I mean, there's doesn't make sense why you wouldn't do that even as an affiliate.
I think the biggest mental hurdle to get over this is the people who are on the receiving end, you might think that you're interrupting them. But if I'm really into this stuff and I think it's going to be valuable, whatever you're selling, like I'm actually looking forward to those emails.
Yeah.
I actually look forward to getting sales emails from certain companies that I love. There's this one store called Beta. All they do is sell the latest gadgets.
Okay.
I actually really look forward to getting that email because they're telling me all this cool stuff that's out.
I feel the same way. In fact, I just signed up maybe 3 months ago for REI's emails and they're expensive. Like that's an expensive store. They don't run a lot of sales, but when you join their, you know, whatever, frequent member program, they send out discounts, not frequently, but enough. And I'm like, I won't shop there. I'm waiting for that email to come. And they just did one that was like 20%. And they emailed me like four times over the course of, I think, the weekend. And one, it's the weekend, so I'm not checking my email as much. And then two, I remember logging on and seeing it was like, hey, this ends tonight. Don't forget to use your 20% off. And sure enough, I went and bought because I was like, I don't want to lose my 20% off because I don't want to pay full price. But it works. And the people that don't want to read your email aren't going to open it anyway. So you're not really bothering people.
And the other thing that you need to realize is that email gets buried really quickly.
Yeah.
And this is coming from someone who has 130,000 unread emails here. If it goes below the fold of my inbox, there's a high probability that I'm not going to see it.
Yeah, I agree.
So
I think even someone like me who has very few emails in their inbox, I delete so quickly that it's very possible that I delete the first email if it's a sale email. And I would love a second one.
Right. Yeah. So these are just mental hurdles that you need to get over.
Yeah.
Like you're probably not disturbing people. And if you are, they're just going to unsubscribe. No big deal. They didn't want to be in your list in the first place.
It's kind of like the same mental hurdle that people have about pop-ups. I know some people don't like pop-ups because they think they're annoying, but I don't mind a pop-up if I want to sign up for the deals.
Yeah. Not to mention the fact that it works.
Yeah.
I mean, that should be the best reason of them all.
Spend
right?
it to win it.
Yeah.
Okay. Another one that I do not do, but I think I should do, is it's kind of like the sequence where you give people a tour of your site or what you have to offer. Have you, I know you kind of include that in your,
I include that all in the same sequence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that's something that's pretty valuable for people if they're, especially if they're already wanting to engage with you, is to show them, especially if you have a site that's older like mine, just like, hey, this is how you navigate the site. These are the things that are really important. This is the stuff you need to know. Here I am on Facebook. Here's where I am on Pinterest. Just giving people all the different opportunities to learn more about you. And I think that's something that I actually put it on my list of things to do because I thought I need to do this at some point. At some point after they sign up for the lead magnet, I want them to get on that sequence.
And actually, I think that's a great idea. That's something that I should do too. Come to think of it, because I'm on a lot of different platforms now, right?
Yeah.
Blog, Instagram, YouTube, podcast. And oftentimes they'll come in on one channel and not know about your other channels.
Right.
And yeah, it's important to point that out because most people, when they land on your site, they're not going to be clicking around.
No.
And browsing the whole thing. They're usually there for one reason. They get what they want and then they leave. And unless you have a way to bring them back or teach them about these other things, they're going to forget about you or there's a high probability.
And one of the awesome things that you can do in sort of the tour sequence is send them to that resource page that hopefully everyone has on their site, where it's basically all your affiliate links in one very convenient spot. And I used to do this when I had all my sequences separated. But if you came to my site for anything that was education related, I sent you to like a whole curriculum page. And every single one of those pieces of curriculum was linked to either like a bookstore or Amazon, something like that. And that page actually made me a good amount of money because people that are interested in educating their kids, that's just a thing within that world. They want to know what curriculum you're using. And if you like it, they're going to buy it. So
why'd you stop?
So that was when I had separate newsletters going out and everything like that. So then when they all got combined again, certain parts got dropped because they didn't make sense. Like if someone comes for budgeting, they don't want to go to a homeschool resource page.
Right.
So,
right.
But the nice thing about, I think, pretty much any email service provider is that you can tag people, which we haven't even talked about, but you can tag people so that they can still get that information very specific as opposed to sending it to everybody.
Right.
For you, you wouldn't need to do that. Everyone could just go to the same page.
I do have people tagged based on what they're interested in. Like some people are only interested in Amazon. Some people are only interested in selling on their own store.
Yeah.
So occasionally I'll send them, like if I have something, I'll send them that specific content.
Yeah. But I think it's important if you're not doing this, because I'm not and I have it on my list now, is to give them that tour of the website, the important pages, where they can find you, things they might be interested in. And it doesn't have to be, it could almost be an interruption in another sequence where they go on that for a little bit and then they go back onto the, because in my world, everyone eventually ends up on the weekly email.
I might actually even consider doing that in the first email of the sequence, right?
Yeah.
When you're introing yourself, you just give them a little tour of the site and what you offer and everything and then get into
it. So let's talk about, because we've talked about a lot of these different sequences, how important do you think it is to include video? Because I know you include video in almost all your emails now.
I think video is extremely important, especially if you're selling something that involves teaching.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's different for every genre, but for me, it's important that people hear how I speak, what my delivery is like, and whether they like my style. For you, it's in the lifestyle space, I'm sure it's equally as important, right?
I think it's, I mean, you and I are both pretty high on video right now in general, but I think it's just, well, I've told you my standard weekly email, if I use the word video in the title, the open rate goes up no matter what the topic is.
Right.
So yeah. I think video is just better. I know for a lot of people that makes it a pain because then you have to go make a video. And, you know, that's not easy for everybody. So I don't want to just say, oh, put a video in, because it's tough, especially if for you, it's probably a little more simple. And for the things that we do, because we can just sit at our desk and make a video. But if you're a lifestyle or a DIY blogger or a travel blogger, your video really needs to showcase what you're doing. So whether it's, you know, projects or places you've traveled, you know, video of some sort of destination. So it's not simple that you could just put together if you didn't already have the content or the footage, but hopefully you're getting that as you go.
I mean, here's how I think about it. And this is coming from someone who used to hate doing these videos. And to a certain extent, I don't really enjoy making.
Right.
You got to think about it like this. You're filming this once and only once.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are going to get it. So it's a really good investment on your time. It's not like, you know, Facebook or Instagram where it's only going to last a couple days.
Yeah.
Right.
So one more sequence that I have on my list that I want to talk about, and this is for people that purchase from you. So these are people that maybe they've gone through your sales sequence or they've gone through any sequence on your site and you have a product to sell, whether it's a physical product or a course. But I think the onboarding sequence for those people is actually really important. We just redid our onboarding sequence a couple months ago for Profitable Audience. And when
you
it
was very generous of you. I think you did most of that work.
As I was doing that, though, by myself, totally alone, with no help, I realized the importance. It's funny because not everybody watches those videos because we can see who watches. We can tell how many views they have. And we know how many people are in the course. I know not everybody watches them. But I do feel like it's very helpful. And you can also refer people back to them. But I think one, it cuts down. So what it is when someone purchases a course from us, they get, I think it's 5 or 6 emails that basically walks them through everything they need to know about the course. So a little brief tour, information about joining the Facebook group, information on how they can earn points in the course, which is what we use to motivate people to make progress. There's one about focus groups, sort of our mastermind program for the people in the course. And each one of those is a separate email that we drip out over the course of, I think it's a week. And I think it's really important because it basically is telling everybody telling people who signed up everything that they're getting right from the very beginning. And I think I want to say we probably have about 40% of the people watch that those videos, which I think is okay.
I actually haven't gone through our post-purchase sequence in that other course, but I know there's one email in mine that particularly resonates. And you got to remember, when you're signing up for a course and you're learning a bunch of brand new things, it's pretty easy to get discouraged.
Yeah.
So there's actually one email that gets a lot of replies to, and it's like, hey, you're probably feeling overwhelmed, and that's normal. Whenever you're learning something new, it's going to be like drinking from a fire hose. But I just want to let you know that that's normal.
Yeah.
Almost all the students in the class feel this way at some point or another. And that just makes people feel better also.
Well, that's your opportunity to do that. Because for most people, if you have some sort of course or membership program or even a product, I think you can do this with a physical product too. You might not understand how to work it. You might not understand all the features it has. You might be, whatever it is, you can sort of, well, one, it helps you from getting your inbox overwhelmed with people who are freaking out in the first week. It also helps with just the level of questions people have. I think we would get a lot more questions if we didn't have the welcome sequence.
Yeah, like if you sell handkerchiefs, you could say something like, you might not want to cry now, but it's okay. It's okay to shed that tear. Just go ahead, bust out the handkerchief and just cry a little bit.
We've got it's you right. covered. Dab those tears away. Maybe not with hankies, whatever.
The other thing that's good with your post-purchase sequence, and this applies to both physical and digital products, is you want to do a cross-sell if you can.
Yes.
So I always use this example with our e-commerce store. If someone buys our hem-stitched cocktail napkins, we always cross-sell them matching dinner napkins and tea napkins.
Of course, who doesn't need?
Exactly. You want a matching set,
yes,
right?
Absolutely.
Okay. In digital land, you might have something that's like a great companion. So for example, let's say you're teaching an email course. You might want to do a cross-sell to an email marketing tool that you like. Mm-hmm. And that could just be an affiliate offer, but you can say something like, hey, this is my favorite email marketing tool that we base the entire course on. If you don't use this tool, you're going to be lost.
You can't even complete the course.
But you get what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah. I actually got one of those last week. I signed up for something and they upselled me in the cart, which I think most people are doing, hopefully, with products. But then they continued to upsell me with like two or three more emails. The first email, I believe, was like a direct upsell. It was very in your face. Hey, you didn't get this yet. Do you want it, basically? Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, no, I don't want it. And then I don't remember the second email, but the third email, I almost clicked over and bought it because it was the way they worded it made it seem like you could. It was exactly what you said. I couldn't do whatever they were doing without this spreadsheet that I had to pay $29 for. I was like, no, wait, I don't need that spreadsheet. But the way it was worded made me think that, oh, I need to click over and buy it.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah, it was an interesting, like, because I mean, I think upselling, in-cart upsell sort of thing is pretty simple. You know, someone puts something in their cart, something else shows up. Do you want to add this? Maybe there's a small discount, whatever. But to get it in the post-purchase email sequence, I actually was kind of impressed by, because it kept, by the end of those emails, there was a part of me that was like, I need this. Like, I'm not going to be able to do this. And I've already committed to the one thing. So
is it their product or was it
their product? Link? Yeah, their product.
But it's not included in the course. Mm-mm. That just seems wrong to me.
But okay. But yes, because we have a philosophy that we don't nickel and dime people, but a lot of people build their whole businesses on selling pieces.
Right.
And less expensive. I mean, the product that I bought was $29 or $30.
Oh, I see. I see. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a companion. And I think if you have a less expensive, you know, if you have something that's $99, $47, find something that's $19 that you can then sell to them in your onboarding sequence. That just makes sense. And if it's between, I think, $7 and $19, most people will buy it without even thinking about it.
Yeah. I mean, especially if there's a compelling reason to do so and it's cheap, it's like an impulse buy at that point.
Yeah. I think anything, I don't know. What do you think the number is for impulse buy? I think it's anything under 20.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Anything under 20, I think people will click and buy without even reading what it's about.
I think anything under $100 can be an impulse buy. You don't think so?
That's why I got a closet full of shoes. I agree with you. If it's under $20 and there's a remote chance that I might use it, I will buy it and not think about it. That's why I don't buy a lot of things, because I don't want to get those posts.
Well, for me, those don't work. just because I'm...
I know.
I think so I'm cute. More frugal than you are, actually.
Okay, we're going to have a whole podcast, who's the most frugal, and I will win this. I mean,
it pains me more to spend money than you.
On certain things.
Yes.
I saw that ribeye place you went to this weekend.
Well, that's... Okay, fine. Well, that's food.
I mean,
you don't eat anything.
I mean leftover carnitas all weekend. Come on. Okay, do you have any other sequences?
Just some of the other ones, maybe like an abandoned cart.
Okay.
You know, someone ends up on your sales page and they don't purchase, but you have some of their information, give them a little nudge to come back and purchase and make it really easy for them to do so. Oftentimes we get distracted. I always use the example, once I was shopping on Amazon and then my kid decided to vomit all over the bathroom floor, so I had to go clean it up. And then I forgot about it, but then Amazon sent me this email and I immediately went and made the purchase.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I totally forgot because I was cleaning up vomit.
No, I mean, I would forget too.
But I stuff think, like yeah. that, yeah.
I think, do you think people send abandoned carts? I feel like people do. I feel like that's kind of an automatic
thing.
Oh,
definitely. Definitely. Yeah. That's another automated thing
that
you should be doing.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it just kind of depends on how everything is structured in your checkout. Like if your checkout flow is just all one page where they're entering all their stuff in all at once, then it's a little bit harder to implement like an abandoned cart. But if you have their email in the first place, then yeah, if you already have their information, then it's pretty easy to just implement.
Well, that's one of the things that we should have probably talked about at the very beginning. When it comes to sequences, there's really, or campaigns, depends on what email provider you use. But basically, all of this is just a series of emails that are automated.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no reason. This is what you were talking about with the video. There's absolutely no reason why you shouldn't be creating some of these, because
it will probably take you realistically 2 or 3 days to create a decent size series or sequence if you're maybe making 10 emails. And that's without the video, obviously.
I was going to say, if the video is involved, miss 20 take Tony.
Yeah.
20 take
Tony
will
take a week and a half. But. Yeah. There's no reason why you shouldn't set these up, because then what I love about them, like my broadcast email that I send once a week, I have to write up once a week. You know, that's not automated. I mean, the sending is automated, but the creation of the email takes me time to put together and send. But with these series and sequences, once you set them up once, it's kind of like your mini course, right? Like once you've created it, I mean, I know you've gone through and updated information, but it will last you a year, 2 years. I mean, I still send the sugar one. I've been sending out for 6 or 7 years. I've updated it twice in that time period. And all I did was just add more bonuses to it. It wasn't a huge project. And it's still getting me email subscribers.
I mean, in general, like when it comes to business and in life, I prefer to do things just once.
Yeah.
Enjoy the fruits. That's why I'm so attracted to Google, YouTube, and I'm less attracted to social media in general. Although I am slowly jumping on the social media bandwagon.
Mr. Twitter.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that if there's one thing to take away from all of this, it's to sit down and dedicate a couple days in the next week or two to creating, if you're not doing this already, creating one or two sequences on your site, because it's going to help your overall email environment. You're going to get better open rates, you're going to get better deliverability, because people tend to open these sequences at a higher rate anyway. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to improve your email overall, and it's a great way to get people to take them from casual observers to rabid fans.
And I would say just bare minimum, do the welcome sequence, if anything.
Yeah. No. Bare minimum, do the welcome sequence and do the get off my list sequence.
Yes. Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Now, for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show. And please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course, where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.